Gould Parts presents Preps Rewind on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Mike Danson.
Good morning and welcome into Preps Rewind. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. And we are presented by Gould Parts in Eaton, 45 East Collins in Eaton, 970-454-3355. Open 7 days a week. They are your Napa parts provider. They have a machine shop, marine off-road equipment, car and truck parts, tractor parts. Curbside pickup is available. Look them up at Gould Parts online. Thank you, Gould Parts. So what today is going to look like this morning, we're going to go through some baseball scores from Wednesday and Thursday, maybe look, depending on time here, at some games that will be happening today. And then in the second segment, something that happened a couple weeks ago now down at Chassa, but it's a big deal in high school athletics for Colorado, and the direction that we're going is fantastic. Two things got voted in that have been talked about a lot. One has been really talked about a lot. The other was just kind of formality. I think it was eventually going to happen no matter what, but and it's going to give me a chance. Something I don't get to do very often on this show is give opinion that I have on things that are being done. So one of the things we're going to talk about in that second segment is Chassa has voted in to sanction girls flag football starting here in the fall of 24. So that's a big deal for young female athletes in the area. You know, flag football is just huge at this point. Talk about in 2028 in the Summer Olympics in Los Angeles, flag football is going to be played in the Olympics. So it's becoming a bigger and bigger thing. Chassa has done the right thing at this point by adding girls flag football. We're going to dig a lot deeper into it in the second segment. The other thing that we're going to dig into is the shot clock has been voted in for varsity basketball only. So we'll dig into those a little bit more into the second segment. In the third segment, Mark Wagner, Fossil Ridge baseball coach, is going to join us. His 17-1 squad, they're ranked number one in the state on the Chassa rankings at the 5A level. So Mark Wagner, Fossil Ridge baseball. And then, as always, in that final segment, we will have Preps Rewind power rankings. These are the rankings of teams in the area here in Northern Colorado that I believe have the best opportunity to win a state championship, regardless of the classification. I just kind of mix all the classifications together, and I pick the ones who I think have the best opportunity to win a state championship this year. One thing that we talk about Fossil Ridge being at the top of the rankings for the 5A level. So Fossil Ridge is the top of the rankings for 5A. Windsor, top of the rankings for 4A. Eaton, top of the rankings for 3A. So a lot of really, really good baseball being played in this Northern Colorado area. Let's jump into scores. We're going to go back. We'll start on Wednesday. Scores from Wednesday's baseball games. Wellington went up to Estes Park, and they take out Estes Park 14-4 there. Good win for Wellington. As we continue to move on, Northridge and Roosevelt matched up. Roosevelt gets the win 7-1 there. Timnath and Strasburg 5-1, a win for the Timnath Cubs on that one. Weld Central and Highland. Highland gets a win 8-1 over Weld Central. Mountain View falls 7-4 to Niwot. Once again, these are baseball scores from Wednesday. Thompson Valley, a team that I've said this before, but this is a baseball team that I think is kind of coming out of nowhere. They are winning lots of games. They're in the top. I think they were ranked sixth this week at that 4A level. Thompson Valley beats Frederick 12-6 in that baseball game. University handles Valley 5-1 on Wednesday. A score of a game that may surprise a lot of people. Eaton just a day after beating. I'm sorry, these scores are from Thursday, not Wednesday. So we're Thursday and Friday. We're looking at scores from Thursday. A team that in Eaton just beat University on Wednesday. That game, if you want to listen to it, you can go back. It's podcasted online here, kfk.com. But Platte Valley and Eaton match up on Thursday, and this is an Eaton win, but by a score that may surprise a lot of people as Platte Valley and Eaton. Eaton only beats Platte Valley 5-4 on Thursday, a lot closer of a game than everybody thinks. And Platte Valley is a team that has been playing a lot of games really tight this season against pretty much any opponent they come up against. It's going to be a close game. They battle through Severance and Skyline. Skyline falls to Severance 6-5. Loveland loses to Fossil Ridge 10-0, as most people are losing to Fossil Ridge this year. And once again, in the third segment here, we will talk with their coach, Mark Wagner. Let's move over to Friday's baseball scores. See what we have going on Friday. Wellington matched up with the Academy. The Academy gets the win 3-2 over Wellington that day. Greeley Central, Pomona came to visit Greeley Central. Pomona gets the win 7-3. Dayspring Christian Academy gets a win over Skyview Academy 7-0 as Dayspring continues to move forward in their winning ways. As we continue to scroll through the scores here, I think that's looking like it. A perennial powerhouse, Cherry Creek, continues to win. They beat Overland 15-0. And from our area, we have Fort Collins and Rocky Mountain matched up, the crosstown rivalry game over there. Fort Collins gets the win 6-1. We'll talk about them a little bit more later in the show, but Fort Collins played five games in the last week. They had a doubleheader on the 29th, and then they had three more games. So five games in a week. And Fort Collins gets the win 6-1. Brush falls to Hayes 7-0. University beats Basalt 14-5. And those are our scores from Thursday and Friday. Let's jump over real quick and see what we have for games that are going on today in the area. We have Erie and Mountain Ranger matching up. These are games that are already in progress, have started. Valley and Fort Lupton will play today at 11 o'clock. Windsor, the 17-2 Wizards, will host Longmont today. That game is also at 11 o'clock. We have Greeley Central. They are going down to Holy Family today. That game is also an 11 o'clock game. A big game in that 3A Patriot League as Resurrection Christian will head out to Sterling. 15-3 Resurrection Christian at 14-4 Sterling. And Sterling is a tough team out there at home. So that's going to be a big game in the 3A Patriot League. Greeley West goes to Centaurus today. Also an 11 o'clock start. Eaton is 18-0. They will host 7-11 Basalt in Eaton today. So if you want a chance to get out and see the undefeated Eaton Reds today, that's a good opportunity as they're at home against Basalt. Probably a team that's going to be a little bit overmatched, but nonetheless, you can see that really quality Eaton baseball team over there. Roosevelt and Severance, that's a pretty good matchup of a couple of teams that have had a lot of success in baseball. Roosevelt travels to Severance. That's a noon start today. Thompson Valley and Mountain View, crosstown game. Probably won't be much of a game as Thompson Valley 14-5, Mountain View 5-12. That game is also at noon today. That looks like what we have for games going on. Oh, sorry, just one more. It's a 6 o'clock start, so it kind of caught me off guard there. But Fossil Ridge heads over to Pooter, 17-1. Fossil Ridge at 8-10. Pooter tonight at 6 o'clock. We also have Platte Valley and Wiggins. That's a 4 o'clock. Platte Valley at Wiggins at 4 o'clock today. One more thing I want to look at just in this first segment. Looking at the end of the season as we inch closer and closer to the final weeks of the spring sports season for high school athletics. Baseball, the 1A baseball bracket has been put out for districts anyways. The district bracket is out. That'll be completed. I think the districts is actually completed. The regional bracket is out now. And then the next week by the 5/16, so by May 16th, we will have the finals and semifinal games going on at 1A. For the 2A through 5A, we're looking a little bit later, May 24th and 25th, and May 31st and June 1st for those state championship games. As we look at girls golf, the regionals will be completed at the end of this next week, and then state runs at 5/20, May 20th and 21st. The other big one is track and field. Track and field's state championships are held May 16th through the 18th. And that, if you've never been to that, that's a fantastic event. They have all classifications 1 through 5A, all at the at Jeffco Stadium down there in Lakewood. And it is a heck of a thing just getting to see all those amazing athletes. And the young gentleman from DeBec is high jumping 7.4. So that's something that that is a Olympic trial standard that he's met. So if he wanted to, he could go and try to make it to the Olympics at this point. So that just an amazing thing, just lots of great athletes at the track and field state championships. So we'll hop out now around the corner. We will dig deep into the two things that Chassa has implemented for the upcoming couple of years here. We'll talk about girls flag football and the shot clock. We'll dig deeper into that. You're listening to Preps Rewind on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into Preps Rewind. We are presented by Gould Parts. Gould Parts in Eaton, 45 East Collins in Eaton, 970-454-3355. Now, as I mentioned in the opening segment, this is a bit of fun for me as most of the time we're talking about things that are true, things that have happened, scores. We're talking to coaches. We're talking to players. And I don't get a chance to give opinion a lot of times on things that are happening within the realm of Colorado high school sports. So this segment is going to be a little bit of fun for me as I get to give my opinion on what Chassa has done here. And don't get me wrong, I think that both of the things that Chassa has done that they voted in, there was a lot of other stuff that was voted on at this legislative council, but these are the two big chunks of the pie that came from it. So April 22nd, Chassa had their legislative council meeting. Two big things were talked about. We talked about girls flag football. That's going to be, I'm going to wrap up this segment with talking about the girls flag football, but the shot clock has been a huge discussion for a couple of years now. And the vote has continued to go the way of, oh, we don't want to add the shot clock because the cost that's associated for these smaller schools and just having to train officials and the players having to get used to it. And to me, there were only two options for Chassa to do this. And they took a different tack. They went a completely different way. They took a third option and made a mess of this situation, to be completely honest. There were two options, I think. The one option is you just continue to go as is. We go, nope, we're not doing shot clock. We're not ready to implement that yet. We need to make sure that we are completely on board. All the schools are on board. All the schools are ready for this situation that we can. We're going to wait on shot clock until we are absolutely 100% ready, and then we're going to move forward with it. That's one option where you just stand pat. You do not do anything. The other option for adding the shot clock is you add the shot clock, and it's for everybody. It's not – it's for the C-team games. It's for the freshman games. It's for every level of basketball that is played in the high school realm. So Chassa – the vote goes, so there were two different votes. One of them was, okay, let's add shot clock at just the 6A level. And this failed miserably. 17 votes for, 56 against. So that one fails, just not a chance of that happening. The other vote, and I think the reason they went this way is because this is the only way they thought they could get it passed, which seems ridiculous for me, because if you put the shot clock in and you implement it to varsity only, like Chassa has done now, like the legislative council has done, the vote was 40-31. So yes, we're going to shot clock. It's going to start in the 2026-2027 season. So we're still, what, 3 years away from this being something that's actually happening. But why would you put the shot clock for varsity level only? This is something that needs to be spread out through all the levels of basketball. What happens for this JV kid now who has been playing? Maybe it's a kid who plays two quarters at JV, and then he comes up and plays two quarters at the varsity game. He has to adjust the way he's playing based on, oh, I'm in the JV game now. We can kill the clock over here. I don't have to worry about a shot clock. And then he gets in the varsity game and he goes, okay, now I really have to have this other thing in mind that the shot clock is going. I don't know why we would choose to go varsity only. It makes no sense. The cost of it is the same. We're going to have to pay for the shot clock, for the gym, for these varsity games. So why would you not just have it going for each level? Maybe it's because a lot of schools, they're running their sub-varsity games in a auxiliary gym and the varsity games in a main gym. So now they don't want to have to, this is the only thing I can think of. They don't want to have to put shot clocks in the auxiliary gym and in the main gym. But for a team that's practicing, let's say the boys and girls rotate week off. So 1 week the boys are in the main gym practicing and the next week they're in the auxiliary gym practicing. Don't they need to practice with the shot clock? So you're going to have to put the shot clocks in the auxiliary gym and the main gym anyways. I do not understand the idea of going varsity only. And I tried to get in touch with a couple of athletic directors to come on and talk with me today about what the reasoning behind going varsity only was. They were both busy. I will still reach out and try to get them on. Micah, it looks like you have some sort of opinion that you would like to offer up here.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, you have to have someone run that shot clock. Are they going to use a student? Are they going to use, you know, student from home court, student from away? And do they have, you know, the students committed to do both JV and varsity, and are they going to pay someone? I'm just wondering if there's some inconsistencies in between, you know, the 5A schools, they have the students and maybe the parents to do it. The 1A schools, not so much.
Well, and I think, Micah, that's a very fair point. But for me, you look at it and go, okay, the 5A schools are the places where you're going to need two sets of clock operators, because they're going to be running an auxiliary gym and a main gym for sub-varsity games running at the same times as JV, and then maybe another sub-varsity game and the varsity game going at the same time also. But at the 1A level, they have one gym. There's going to be JV games and there's going to be varsity games. That's it. They're not going to have auxiliary gyms running also. So it's just the same set of people that are going to be doing it for each. So like the cost that comes along with adding that extra person, I understand all this stuff, but if you're going to do it, make it fair for the players as they move up from that C team level to JV to varsity. By the time they get to varsity, they're not having to learn a new game with a shot clock.
I absolutely agree with you on that point. Maybe they're doing this as an experiment. Their experiment, maybe the JV, they're doing it the old way. Let's see what we think about the old way. And then the new way, the varsity. Let's see what we think about the varsity.
Yeah.
And maybe we can work out the kinks this year before we implement it completely.
Yeah. And that's completely fair. I don't know. And that's why, like I said, I want to get some athletic directors on, or maybe as we move forward and maybe we get into the summer and we have less baseball games and stuff like that, maybe we can get somebody from Chassa to come on and talk to us about the reasoning behind this varsity only shot clock thing. But I just, for me, there were only two options: don't do it at all or do it for everybody. And they picked a third option that I don't think should have existed. Let's move on now. Let's talk about the girls flag football. So girls flag football has been moved over. It is now voted in. It is a Chassa sanctioned sport. And it passed by an overwhelming margin, 57-9, yes, for voting it in. I wonder who the nine are that are voting against this. Like, who could honestly think this is a bad deal? I don't understand that. I love that they're doing this. I love it because I looked this up from NFHS. That's the National Federation for High School Athletics. Dr. Carissa Niehoff. So in 2023, and these are girls six years old to 17, roughly 500,000 girls played flag football in 2023. That, and I understand, like, this is age 6 to 17, so we're going in a lot younger, but those girls are coming up. They're going to be in high school soon enough. That is a 63% increase since 2019 for girls flag football. That is a overwhelming amount of growth in girls flag football. It's coming. It is coming. The one thing that I would like to see, let's dig into the details a little bit before I get into the opinion of this. This is the 33rd sport that is going to be sanctioned by Chassa. This is the 18th sport for girls. So the girls have 18 options of sports they could play. I looked it up earlier. Volleyball is the number one sport in Colorado for girls. Basketball is number two. And then we go into track and then softball and soccer. Those are the top five for Chassa for Colorado high school girl athletics. So it's going to be played in the fall. And this is where my opinion is going to come in. If they get more than 50 teams, then they're going to have two classifications. If it's 49 teams, there's only going to be one classification. I think as you look at this, there's eight states have had girls flag football, and 22 were in a pilot program last year, including Colorado. And now we've adopted it. So now we're going to move up. It will be nine states that actually have sanctioned girls flag football. And here's the problem for me that I see. It's time for Chassa to move girls softball to the spring. The NCAA plays softball in the spring. There's only five states in the United States that play softball in the fall, Colorado being one of them, Georgia, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma. Those are the only five states that play girls softball in the fall. And now you're adding flag football to the fall. So now we have volleyball, we have softball, we have flag football, which is going to grow. It is going to grow so fast. We have no idea how fast this girls flag football in Colorado is going to grow. I think it's going to fly. It's going to be the number two sport. Well, maybe not number two, just because basketball in the winter is going to hang on to that number two spot. But volleyball is going to take a hit. Softball is going to take a hit. These other two sports in the fall. So we need to move softball to the spring where everybody else plays it. The NCAA plays it there. All the other states play it there, except for those five I listed. Move softball into the spring. Let's have flag football and volleyball along with some of the smaller sports that are played, obviously, in this fall. And then we'll move softball. We'll have softball. We'll have soccer. And we'll have track and field in the spring. And then we have basketball and swimming. That happens in the winter. This is how it should look. We should not have volleyball, football, or flag football, sorry, and softball all in the fall. It's going to destroy those three sports. They're going to get girls jumping around. I think the way to go for Chasa would be to move softball to the spring and kind of even this out a little bit.
Is girls not a sport, soccer, in the spring or fall?
It is in the spring.
I think that would be the sport that's most cannibalized by football, flag football.
Yeah, and for me, I see a lot of crossover probably between softball and flag football players, honestly.
I agree with you on that,
Frank. I think if we go volleyball and we go girls flag football in the fall, then we have girls basketball, and I think swimming and diving is in the winter, and then we move softball from the fall to the spring. We have track, we have softball, we have soccer, and I think those three are different enough that we're not going to see them kind of cannibalize each other. But I think having volleyball, flag football, softball all in the fall, it's really one of these sports is going to take a hit. And I think they're going to take a hit because flag football is going to be so popular.
It is. Football, sorry baseball players, but football is America's sport. It just is.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's moved that way. So don't get me wrong. I've went kind of to negative town on these things that have been added by Chasa. I love that we're moving forward with the shot clock. I just think it should be for all the classifications. And adding girls flag football is a fantastic thing for the female athletes in Colorado. And it's fantastic just because this is a growing sport. I don't think we're far away from having college flag football also for girls. These girls are going to have opportunities for you can get a cornhole scholarship now to go and play cornhole in college. So flag football is going to grow to that point for the girls that we're going to have girls flag football eventually in college. It's not going to be an intramural or a club sport. It's going to be another sport.
You just said that you can get a cornhole scholarship. I just lost faith in humanity.
Cornhole is so big at this point, it's ridiculous to me. But
are there that many frat boys out there?
Apparently. Haven't you seen the news lately? It's.
I mean, come on. Cornhole, that is. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
No. So there have to be more academic scholarships out there. There have to be more smart people out there. It's cornhole. You play it at a football game or at a party. Yeah.
Most of the time with a beer in hand.
Exactly. Are they allowed to have a beer in hand?
No, they're not.
Please tell me there aren't bowling scholarships.
I don't know that. I don't know that. But
bowling is fun. Cornhole is fun.
Yep.
No, with the scholarships.
So, I love what Chaz is doing. I just think we just need little tweaks here and there. And I think the one big one is we need to move softball from the fall to the spring, and shot clock, we need it for all levels of the game. Okay, so we're going to hop out now. On the other side, we'll get back to more of our normal type Preps Rewind show. We will have Fossil Ridge baseball coach Mark Wagner on the other side. You're listening to Preps Rewind on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into Preps Rewind. We are live in the Aloe Fiber Studios, and we are going to get right to it here with Fossil Ridge baseball coach Mark Wagner. Coach, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for taking some time out of your morning here and joining us.
Of course. It's my pleasure.
Yeah. So we'll just get right to it, Coach. 17-1 here on the season, 9 shutout victories. The one loss is the only time that you guys have given up more than 5 runs. Your pitching and your defense has been fantastic this year.
Yeah, we've really tried to build our team around the pitching staff. I got, a lot of really good arms, starting with obviously Easton Miller, but kind of overlooked is Breck Benedict having just as good a year as he is. Maybe not as much publicity and all that because he doesn't throw in the low 90s, but Breck's had a great year. Vedant Sharma was out with injury at the beginning of the year, but he's come on strong now. I think he's thrown a couple of shutouts himself. So, with a pitching staff like that, it's pretty hard to go wrong. It makes me look like a lot better coach than I really am.
Stuff like that makes it a lot easier. I know, when we would have a stud quarterback back when I was coaching football, it seemed to always make it easier.
Yeah, good players make coaching a lot easier. There's no doubt about that.
Yep. It's a hidden secret nobody knows.
Correct.
Yeah. So I don't want to go back too far, but I was curious as I looked back at the Cherry Creek loss. It's almost a month ago, but you guys gave up a 10 spot in the third, and I hate to ask about it, but I was just really curious about what happened in that inning.
Well, we walked a guy and hit a guy. No, excuse me. We made an error and then hit a guy to start the inning. And then Escoville, their center fielder, I mean, he's a super talented player. He hit the 3-run home run. And I'm like, okay, we actually were still ahead at that point. So, took a mound visit. Vedant seems like he's fine. Just like, it's early in the season. We need to get our innings in, get our work in. And it just kind of spiraled out of control from there. A couple more hits. I think we walked another guy, made another error. One of those innings that, honestly, we've probably gotten more traction out of that one inning than had we, just played clean and been great. We can go back and remind ourselves, if you don't take care of the baseball and you don't take care of your business, you're going to be in for a tough inning. So, it was a 10-run inning. We actually battled back and got it quite a bit closer later in the game. But, the damage was done, and that's kind of how baseball works, right? I mean, the momentum shifted, and those big innings are hard to overcome.
Well, and that's one of the things that kind of comes up with every baseball coach I've talked to here in the spring is that, man, if you don't get those fundamentals down and if you have 2 errors and a walk in an inning, you may have done yourself in for the whole game.
No question. I mean, there was more runs scored in that by them in that inning than they even needed for the whole game, right? So, and if you look at baseball games, especially at the amateur level, there's a lot of times where that happens. More runs are scored in one inning than are actually needed to win the game. So, it's kind of a philosophy of ours. Actually, we try to create the beginning, and then obviously on the flip side, you try to avoid the beginning. And in that situation, it didn't work. But like I said, it was a teaching point, and we've gone back to that one and hammered on that one quite a few times in practices and in games. Like, you just have to limit the damage. We can give up 3 or 4 right there, and still not great, but you have a chance to win. You give up the 10th spot, and there's no looking back for them at that point.
Well, and something like that, especially when you have such a quality team like yours that's, you guys are winning games rather easily a lot of the time. Something like that could be a good thing, a little bit humbling in the middle of the season that, like you're saying, the growth that you can come from just that one inning could be something that carries you all the way to the end.
Yeah, no question. We'd won 9 in a row at that point. To be fair, I'd even told my assistant coaches going into that, our practices hadn't been good that week. We kind of started thinking we were a little better than we were, perhaps. And next thing you know, baseball is a game of execution. And if you don't execute, then bad things happen. And bad things happen to us on that particular day. And it has. It's been a good thing for us. We've stayed focused. And we really learned, right in front of our faces what a big inning can do. And we, we've done that to a lot of other teams where we've had big innings against them. And that's another teaching point is like, hey, look what the beginning does to you. It demoralizes you. It switches the momentum. If you have a beginning like that, you have a chance to really blow some teams out. And fortunately, we've been on the good side of the beginning a lot more times than we've been on the bad side.
Yep. Coach, you have 7 seniors, 5 juniors. There's even a sophomore here and there sprinkled in for this squad. Mm-hmm. I look at this roster and I go, this looks like the kind of roster that is built to make a good run in the playoffs.
We really do. We have a good mix. We've got some great senior leadership, guys that have kind of been there, done that. They've been through the program for several years. And then we've got a very talented junior class. And as you said, there's sophomores that have made contributions too. So, we're just trying to be a cohesive unit and take the pieces that we have and develop the best team that we can, put guys in the best positions to have an opportunity for success when they do get their opportunities. And really, it's been just kind of an amazing run right now, and I hope it doesn't end anytime soon. Don't put that jinx on me.
Yeah. Coach, you guys are sitting atop of the 5A Front Range League, and this league is proving to be a pretty tough day in and day out. You're going to be challenged no matter if it's a team that's at the bottom of that league or in the middle at the top. All of them are pretty quality teams.
Yeah, Front Range has been a good league for a long time. It's kind of the hidden gem up here. I hear about, you know, the Centennial and the Continental, and rightfully so, those are great leagues. But I think sometimes the Denver teams in particular overlook the Front Range just a little bit. I mean, we're tournament tested because of, just like you said, I mean, every time you take the field, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a war. And, you know, so we're ready. By the time we get to the postseason, we're ready for those close games. We're ready to face those, you know, elite arms and the good hitters and all that, because we see them every single day in this league.
Coach, I haven't had the pleasure of getting out to see Easton Miller pitch yet this year. I had Coach Tag Lane on earlier, and he said that Easton may be the best pitcher in the state of Colorado. What makes him so special on the mound?
Pitchability is probably the first thing. He can land the breaking ball for a strike whenever he needs to. He's also kind of developing that changeup that gives him just one more weapon, especially against the left-handed hitters. And obviously, the big headline grabber is, you know, we've seen him up to 92 in a game. Wow. We've seen him 93 in the bullpen. So, you know, it's plus velocity for sure. He'll be 88 to 92 just about any time he goes out there. Been a few pro scouts in on him. I think everybody kind of likes him. He's such a great athlete. But, you know, beyond that, he's the right kind of kid, right? He's going to the Air Force Academy. He's a yes sir, no sir kind of a guy. He's our team leader without a doubt. He also can swing the bat a little bit. I mean, he's literally been what's made our team go this season.
And that just makes me so happy to hear. I love hearing these athletes that are so good, and when they turn out to be really good people too, it really makes a big difference.
Yeah, he's the right kind of guy. There's no question about that. And most of our kids are. It's just like, yeah. he just stands out. He's just, you know, he's above and beyond.
And you guys are having a really good year at the plate also, but one guy that I wanted to talk about, Junior Owen Morgan, for just obvious reasons to talk about him. He's hitting .526 with 24 RBIs, so, a bunch of doubles, a bunch of triples, a home run, and he's got 15 stolen bases. Just a great season at the plate for Owen.
Yeah, Owen's going to – he's a commit to Oregon, and there's no doubt they got a good one in him. You know, he kind of drives us right there in the middle. He's always in the middle of the rally. He's driving guys in. He's getting on base and setting up his teammates. Creates a lot of havoc when he's on the bases with those stolen bases. You know, what you don't see in there is, you know, two or three of those doubles are hustle doubles. Two or three of those triples are probably balls he could have stopped at second. He just pushes the envelope, tries to put pressure on the defense. And, you know, our whole team benefits from Owen being there and just kind of being the cog right in the center of the whole offensive wheel.
Yeah, Coach, you head over to Pooter tonight, I believe, at a 6 o'clock game.
Yeah, that's correct.
Who's on the mound for you today?
Tonight we're going to go with Vedant Sharma. I think his third conference start. So, he was a little bit banged up at the beginning of the season, a little tender elbow. And obviously with the depth of our staff, we didn't have to push it. But he's fully in the rotation now, and tonight it's his night to go.
And that's the other thing that really stood out. You mentioned it, Benedict and Miller, obviously, and now Sharma coming back. You have these three pitchers. Just the confidence that you have to have as you get into that playoff time, and you know the weather is probably going to be a factor, and the pitch count stuff. It all gets kind of wonky in there. Just having the confidence to put all these extra pitchers out there is huge for you.
Yeah, it's actually kind of played into our hands, to be honest with you, with the league schedule, the way we've had so many games backed up or postponed, canceled, whatever you want to call it, because I do have those three arms, right? So, you know, just this week, and it's just the way it goes, right? We're facing a couple of guys who don't have a lot of innings because it's the third or fourth time that these teams have had to play this week, and I'm running out of guys, you know, a Division I commit or yeah. Frank Benedict, the guy who could probably pitch anywhere in the country just because of the left-handedness and the ability to control the strike zone with the breaking ball and the changeup. Yeah, it's been a huge advantage, and it's something that we definitely are looking forward to in the playoffs. We were just talking about this week, you know, how are we going to handle this? Because that first weekend, you know, is the two games. Well, we've got either any of the guys we go with, we're going to get a quality start from them, and then we have the other guy to probably close out if we need help on that. And then you get to the state tournament, And, you know, just the way the state tournament's set up, you really need three starters, and I think that's going to put us in a pretty good spot, assuming that we, you know, continue to take care of our business.
Yes, sir. Coach, I appreciate your time. Good luck tonight, and good luck through the rest of the season. Maybe we'll catch up as we get into the playoffs.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our guys.
Yep. That is Mark Wagner, Fossil Ridge baseball coach there. His 17-1 squad, they have the pitching, they have the hitting. That's going to be a tough team for anybody at that 5A level. We'll take our final break here, and on the other side, we will have our Preps Rewind Power Rankings. You're listening to Preps Rewind on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's time for the Preps Rewind Power Rankings.
It's time for the Preps Rewind Power Rankings. We only got about 5 minutes here, so I'm going to be pretty quick. First things first is I left Berthoud and I left Resurrection Christian out because I'm only taking five teams. And the main reason is because Eaton is in that 3A level, and I just don't know if either of those teams can beat them. So we're going to start at five with Fort Collins. Fort Collins is 16-3. This team is gritty. They played five games this last week, including a doubleheader versus Fairview and Legacy on the 29th. They went 5-0. They're not flashy. They're not blowing teams out, but they just continue to win. Fort Collins, number five. Number four, University. They're 18-3. They lost to Eaton, but everybody does. They lost to Resurrection Christian. That's a fair argument why Resurrection Christian should probably be in instead. But for me, when all these teams in the 3A level meet at Butch Butler for the final couple weeks of the baseball season, this is the team, this is the coach that won't be intimidated by those red pinstripes when Eaton is in the other dugout. University is number four. Windsor is number three. They're 17-2. Their two losses came in a three-game stretch to teams that they have now beat by a combined score of 21-3 since. This team is loaded with juniors that have showed the ability to bounce back. I think this team will be there in the end at that 4A level. Number two, we just talked to their coach, Mark Wagner, Fossil Ridge. They're 17-1. Their one loss was to a perennial powerhouse, Cherry Creek, 12-9. And we talked to Coach about that weird 10-run inning where things just kind of got sideways on them. And they still only lost 12-9 with giving up 10 runs in the third. Benedict and Miller on the mound will carry this team a very long way. Fossil Ridge is number two. And no surprise to anybody who's listening or pays attention to the baseball teams in the area, Eaton is number one. They're 18-0. They've beaten Resurrection Christian 4-1. They beat Berthoud 9-3. They beat University 6-1. Unless something crazy happens, they're going to enter the postseason undefeated. They have the bats. They have the pitching. They have the tradition. They just know how to win state championships. They've won three in a row. They're going for four in a row. Eaton, number one. The Preps Rewind Power Rankings go like this. Eaton, one. Fossil Ridge, two. Windsor, three. University, four. And Fort Collins, five. Now, if you look back at it there in my power rankings, I can understand where people that are listening, Resurrection Christian fans or Berthoud fans or just 3A Patriot League baseball fans are looking at it and going, man, why does he have University at four when they're a team that they play Berthoud on, I think Tuesday this next week. They play Berthoud. They've played Resurrection Christian and already lost. Why is Resurrection Christian not in this slot instead of University? But like I say, I just think University has seen Eaton. They met them in the state championship last year. They understand what it's going to take to beat this team. And they played them really close this last Wednesday when we had that game on KFKA. I think that's the team that can look at Eaton and say, it's just another team. We can go out there. We can beat this team. Once again, I may have sounded negative when talking about the girls' flag football situation and all the sports being crammed into the fall, but I commend CHASA for doing the right thing, the Legislative Council for voting it in, voting the shot clock in. Once again, I just wish it was for all levels. It seems crazy to only do it for the varsity level. Thank you to head coach Mark Wagner of Fossil Ridge Baseball for joining us. Good to catch up with him and hear about his team. Thank you to Micah on the other side of the glass, adding some commentary also today and helping me keep this thing in line. You have been listening to Preps Rewind, presented by Gould Parts in Eaton on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.